couch where Penny.
Yeah, she might make an appearance.
The cat.
Oh yes, your cat. Well,
yeah,
both of
see
you.
See if she makes an appearance.
Mm-hmm. I'm always down for cat appearances.
Yeah.
As we well know.
Yeah, we know. I love cats. Sorry, I'm like real tired. This whole like being pregnant thing, it's just a lot.
If I learn anything from the Twilight series.
What'd you learn?
Welcome to In Love With Movies, where we learn things from the Twilight series. I'm Nick.
And I'm Danny. And this is In Love With Movies. You just said that.
I did.
Can't do it opposite of when I say it.
I'm sorry? What do we do here, Danny?
We talk about movie and love.
And who are we talking about love and movies with today?
Apparently some big Twilight fans over here.
Huge.
This is Madison and Nick. Young Love. Oh, do we have
first time we get to introduce them that way? The Young Loves.
The Young Loves. Madison, what did Jen call you recently?
I think it was Young Blood. maybe it was Love.
Love Blood.
Well, this past Saturday, somebody, Young Blood. I think Brian called me Madison Youngblood, and then he's like,
My ignorance, and I apologize, listeners, if this is offensive, but like, isn't that like a within sort of black culture a sort of parlance for younger person, Youngblood, like a sort of term of endearment?
What
I feel like I've seen that in movies, but I mean, that's my only indication of it is movies. So
Brian said it could be a cat call.
Oh,
I don't know.
That's
you had to ask. Ask him. Have him on the podcast.
I'll ask Brian, yeah.
Is this the Brian you know?
Yeah, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Brian, I don't know if I can say his last
Brian,
name.
Brian, last name redacted. Yeah.
Last name redacted. Well, either way, Young Blood, Good Love, not correct.
We are joined by the Young Loves.
And we've had them all in the past, so longtime listeners will recognize the faces and voices. But they have since been married, which is why we had applause.
That's why we had applause. Thank you for explaining this. Also, this is your third year in a row doing this, right?
Oh yeah. I know. It's crazy.
They are our annual holiday movie guests.
Indeed.
Because Madison always has hot takes, and Nick is married to Madison.
That's why you're here. I know how it feels. Like you're here because you're married. That's...
No, as we learned last year, Nick has enveloped himself into the joy of holiday movies because of this. Yeah, except for I'm a little disappointed. There's no Christmas tree that I'm looking at right now. You're wearing blue.
Oh, I have one on my desk.
There's a Christmas tree out. It's just not in frame. There we go. Yes.
That's cute.
This Christmas tree I've had since high school, because I used to take it to class in high school and put it on my desk in every class.
No, you didn't.
At Christmas time.
Stop. Stop. You are too much.
So it's at least 12 years old.
Wow. Did anyone ever comment on your desk tree?
Oh, yeah, loads.
And that's why she's a comedian, ladies and gentlemen. Have I told this story on this podcast?
Are you about to see Christmas earrings or holiday earrings or whatever? Yeah. Yeah. Yes, you've told this
story. Well, I'm going
to
say it again anyways. I got bullied in high school, middle school. Not a ton, because I'm freaking cool. But the meanest thing that anyone ever called me was holiday earrings, which like cut deep because I was always like themed. Movie lovers, if you're watching this on the YouTubes, tomorrow is Thanksgiving and I am wearing a full-blown turkey sweater.
A sweater that she's worn for like the last, never mind.
I've worn it every day this week. But my grandma made it.
She's been on theme for a while.
Yeah, wow. So I have so many holiday earrings and I have them for every holiday. And I thought that was the meanest thing that anyone could ever say to me. And now I embrace that shit.
I will say that is one of those things where it's like we talked about with movies or with video games or comics, especially comics for me. Like I kind of hid it for a while, how much I think I was into that type of stuff, and convinced myself that I wasn't because of pressure from others. And that's your thing. It's like you're into holidays. And even though it sometimes makes me roll my eyes, the amount of decorations for various different holidays that we have to keep in our house, I let you embrace that because that is your full true self, and I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and now we have a house. And speaking of, now the Young Loves have fully moved into their house as well.
Yes.
So are you filling it with holiday decor?
Yep. We got two trees up. I think we have a third one coming. The one is full size. The other two are like 5 foot skinny boys.
Skinny boys.
And then you have the desk tree.
Then we have the desk tree as well as like, okay, Target. Shameless plug for Target.
Sponsor there, us, Target, please.
They're like $5 and under section. They have the cutest little Christmas trees. We just got like 6 of them because they were so cute. But they're like these little figurines and now they're up all over our house. Yeah.
Is your whole house decorated for Christmas right now?
No, it's like very halfway, minimalistic.
Halfway done with the process.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, you walk in and it's like puked on you. It's like, oh, little touches here and there. Mm-hmm. But I did put our Christmas llama out on the porch today.
There you go.
How big is this Christmas llama?
It's like, what, 3 feet tall? 4 feet tall?
Three.
Yeah, it's a blow-up llama that I... like an inflatable. I got it several years ago, and it's just a thing in my family. It's a whole backstory about the Christmas llama.
You are on a podcast, Madison. You can tell the story.
It's a whole backstory. You don't need to know.
Okay.
But we have one.
Great. And now it's on your porch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, inflatables are banned in this household.
I do not like inflatables. They seem... difficult, problematic, they blow away, they're like, they get covered in snow.
All right, pack it up.
Ours is under our porch, hidden from the wind, and we have a camera that captures its every movement.
Yeah.
Well, that's got to be draining the battery on the camera, too, because I love that me and Nick are like on the same page. Yep. We're like, this thing is not worth its annoyance. It is not at all. I would rather have a dozen different things that are like wooden staked into the ground than have like a single
inflatable. Are you describing trees? Is that what you're describing?
I do love trees, but we have like snowmen. Like, so we put up about, it took longer to get some of the like, I wanted to do lights kind of displaying along our sidewalk. It took a lot longer to do that than we originally anticipated, so we didn't get to do any of the lights on the house yet. We got one lane of lights along the sidewalk.
One row.
And a couple of snowmen, and those snowmen are ones that get, you know, wooden staked into the ground.
And one I just found in the garbage the other day. I keep finding good stuff in the garbage.
My wife.
It's a Go-Go White Sox snowman. And I was like, why would anybody throw this out?
Yes, I saw your Instagram story.
The comments that people responded to, why would anyone throw this out, was not very nice. Not against me, against the Sox.
Yeah, I think somebody said something to the effect of, I would throw it out just because it was White Sox.
I think so. It was like brand new. It just had a broken stick.
Yeah. But, and I will say, me being a little bit, just a little bit more handy around the house, I went out and bought a metal stake and a pipe, whatever you call it, and you know, just replaced the plastic chintzy one they had on the back, and for like, I don't know, $1 or something like that, I was able to have that thing back in working order, and we were able to keep it. It was perfectly good.
Yeah, and then the rest of our Christmas decorations are just a little crispy. From the fire.
No.
Well, some of them didn't make it. Like, I garbage picked a $350, well, that's how much it was worth. It was priceless to me. Like, antique blow mold Santa Claus that was in perfect condition.
His face had melted in.
It's like a Christmas horror movie.
It's a Halloween decoration now.
Yeah, that's true. We kept most Halloween decorations because they're just extra spoopy now.
Yeah. Or we have some nice white reindeer that my they're mom and her boyfriend made for us, but now they're just like spotted reindeer. Yeah. You know, like they have pieces of charred remains on them.
Anyways, enough about us, Nick. We've been talking too much.
You're right.
Madison, Nick, I know we know your whole backstory. We know basically everything about you. And listeners, if you don't, go back and listen to their other two episodes. However, there is a new thing in your life, and that is marriage.
And house.
Right. Well, I think you had the house last year, but you both hadn't moved into it yet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So give us the update. How's married life? How's living in the house, updating the house, all that kind of stuff?
Super good.
Yeah, it's good. We are done with, like, most of the house stuff. It's basically just, you know, trying to figure out what rugs and pictures we want now. So most of our walls look like this.
They're blank.
Yeah, Nick likes it. He's very minimalistic. It's like white walls. We did everything in black trim.
It looks nice. You know. I like the black and white.
Wait, did you repaint everything?
See?
Dang.
Yeah, like every inch.
Don't you forget it.
A project. Mostly for Nick's mom. But she loved it.
Dang. Did you sand all your doors before painting?
We got mostly new doors because we had to widen the entrances to all the rooms because it was too narrow for Nick's chair to fit through.
That makes sense.
It's so annoying that they don't make things, like, accessible.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It's so easy.
How old is the house?
That's been fun. What's that?
How old was your house?
1990. So it's like... Yeah, they were technically wide enough. Yeah, older houses are, like, too narrow for me to even fit through. This is just, like, make things easier.
Sure, you should be able to be comfortable in your own home. It's a foreign concept.
And
but,
not
you know.
Have, like, bleeding hands every time you go through a door.
Yeah.
Nice. And then how's the marriage part of things? How long have you been married now?
It'll be 6 months. December 3rd. So, not, well, yeah, next Sunday.
Close.
Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah, it's gone fast. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's good. We like have enjoyed just like getting to be together and I don't know, eat together, not have to drive forever to see each other and just get to like go do things together. Yeah. We went to Milwaukee the other week, weekend, which was fun. So yeah, and like just get to like, yeah, just spend time. It's been nice to spend time with Nick's family. His parents are around the house a lot and his sister lives like just 10 minutes away. So it's been good to like, yeah, just be around them and see them and like have them as my own family, you know?
Oh,
cute.
Yeah, and Madison is the best cook. So the food game has really taken a step up. And yeah, it's fun. It's fun working next to each other too. Yeah. Her desk is right next to mine. So like the three days a week she's here, we're just
in the same room.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're co-workers. Party.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, we bought a house to avoid that. So I'm impressed.
Yeah. Do you guys have like what happens when you have meetings and stuff?
She does go to the living room for my meetings. She doesn't really have too many Zoom meetings or anything, so.
Yeah, I'm in the office 2 days a week, so usually if I need to have a meeting, having it in person is better, or, we usually don't, like, you know, overlap meetings at all.
Do you talk to each other while you're working?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she's always got something to share. or a complaint about an email she's just gotten.
That's true.
I'm a good sounding board. Yeah.
I do sometimes just want to throw my computer in a dumpster.
I think everyone who works has that experience sometimes.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, Nick and I try to stay as separate as we can. Ever since I got knocked up, it's not really comfortable. Like, my office was in the basement, and it's cold and stinky, so I was like, I just live on the couch now. So when I work from home, I watch Love Island, and I do work, okay? I do work. But Nick usually...
I used to watch... Well, before I watched through all the seasons, I would watch the Kardashians while I worked.
It's mindless stuff. Or sometimes, you know, there's baking on in the background, that kind of stuff. But Nick does keep his headphones on most of the time. Yep. And so if I want to talk to him, I have to, like, wave him down and he'll be, Yeah. What did you say something? What did you say?
Or text me. Yeah.
Yeah. Except for the past couple days, you haven't answered my coffee text quick enough.
I will admit that I, for whatever reason, it's like not been sending a signal to my watch or something. So normally, yeah, I'll be playing video games. That's normally what I do first thing in the morning is my me time before she's awake. I get an hour or two of video games, but then
and
yes,
I expect it ends coffee when the moment I
get the
up.
Coffee text. The other day you threw me off and it was it was funny after the fact, but it took me embarrassingly long to realize that it was a joke. It starts with, "Hello, is this Starbucks?" And then, like, gives her coffee order. I was like, does she not under...
Did you think I was texting Starbucks?
I did. Honestly, I was like, is there some new way to get Starbucks ordered via text message?
Hello,
I'm
is
so
this
confused. Does she not realize she's texting her husband? And then I remembered I've married a comedian.
You remember that a lot. And you go... Nick, do you feel the same way?
Oh yeah, Addison's always asking me to get her stuff.
Oh, I meant if you think she's funny or not.
Oh, she's hilarious. She keeps laughing all work day.
Oh man. So marriage is going well. Has anything changed for you guys? Do you think it's like, besides you living in the same place, anything? Like, I know they say marriage is, like, the end. Do they say that?
Who says that? it's been just the beginning for me, so.
Do you think your relationship has changed after just, like, officially getting married?
I think just, like, continued comfortability. And we're, like, even goofier. Because, I don't know, being around somebody all the time, we're just, like, so silly. And sometimes you're, like, you know, staying up late and then you get. Both get slap happy and it just gets super goofy.
I love that.
So it's fun being, yeah, really silly with your best friend who you get to live with all the time.
Oh, you guys are so gross. I mean, cute. Yeah.
I think in like also there's also been just a lot of like adjustments of like both of us have lived on our own, well, in one capacity or another. Before this, and so just like trying to like live in the same space and make sure that we're like jiving with each other's like personal organization styles. Yeah. And that kind of
some eye rolling happening for the auditory listeners.
We know what you're talking about. I'm a neat freak.
But no, it really is just like trying to learn how to like compromise on a new level and respect each other in like new ways.
That's so cute.
That is cute. And I would agree with that.
Yeah, Nick had to learn that like I just really can't put my clothes away at the end of the day. And so he has to live with a pile of clothes. But if you can't see it, it doesn't exist, right?
Yes, but we've reached a point where the pile where you put it is no longer in an invisible space. That's we've been out of that location for a long time and you keep putting the pile. Still next to the bed for 3 or 4 years now. What I've learned instead is just you got upset with me the first time I just started picking those clothes up and because taking them to the... No, hold on. You've learned not to because, like, if I reach a point where I'm like, I can't stand this anymore. I am just, this is all dirty clothes. It's going bye-bye-bye now. And you're like, where's this? And I was like, then you should have put it away. And you're like, you're right. Okay, fine. I'm not going to fight this. You do the laundry all the time, so.
You're right. You do my laundry. But not all clothes on the floor are dirty. For example, I wore this sweatshirt every day this week.
I was about to say agree to disagree, but I realized we have two others whose opinions we can pull on this matter. Your opinion to that statement.
Yeah, if you
are all clothes that are left on the ground after having been worn, dirty, clean, etc.
Like jeans.
I personally
Addison washes her clothes after like everywhere.
I wear my pants several times, especially jeans, but I don't put them on the floor.
Thank you.
You just take them off and put them away?
Put them like on a where do I put them?
On your side table.
Oh yeah, like on my like I have a little table I put them on.
Nick, we haven't heard from you yet in your this opinion.
I would say personally, I have put clothes I would wear again on the floor, but I'll pick them up after a little bit. So I guess we're talking a little bit, period of time passing, and then it might.
No, I'll pick them up when I put them back on my body.
Yeah, I think that puts you squarely in her camp and Madison squarely in mine, because I'm with you. There can be like this one location that you could get like two or three articles of clothing that will be worn in the next week, maybe. We're talking about a pile that's like 2 feet deep, guys. Like,
yeah, well, for the sake of full transparency, I've never seen a closet so immaculate as Nick's. So he like everything.
Really?
I'm jealous. That's awesome.
Have you watched the Beckham documentary?
What?
Oh, yes, I did watch that, and I could really relate. I was like, wow, me and David Beckham.
He's pretty obsessed with his closet. He was like...
One in the same. Yeah. I know. I was jealous of his closet, for sure.
It was, yeah, intense.
The moment when he, like, knew someone had been in there and was telling the documentary, he's like, someone's been in here messing with this, and they're like, you can tell. He's like, yeah, this is not, like...
The hanger was
the hanger was slightly ajar from where it should be. It was pretty awesome. Oh, yeah. So, what is, amongst maybe one of those things, what's the biggest fight you all have had in the last year? Whether it's related to now being married or related to living together. And how did you get through it? Pick one that you've obviously, you know, learned something from, not just one that, you know.
That's ongoing. Yeah.
That you had this morning and haven't actually resolved yet.
Do you think it's like decor pound for me?
Okay.
I don't know.
Explain what you mean by that, Nick.
To mind with me.
Yeah.
It's kind of a, like just decorating the house, and we each have pretty different styles. So it's not like arguments that come from it, but it's like, well, I don't really like that. I don't really like that. Like we'll each come with like our idea, and then it's just like, yeah, it's been learning to meet in the middle kind of thing.
Because Madison likes also color and glitter and like lots of decor.
Look on Nick's face as he nods to that statement.
Nick doesn't.
And Nick likes the black and the white.
Yeah, we have like, my desk is the Barbie desk and his desk is the Oppenheimer desk.
The Barbenheimer office. I love it.
That's funny.
It really is. I have a pink keyboard, pink mouse, pink, pink desk chair. I think for me too, what comes to mind is just like, learning how to just kind of like, yeah, like what our roles are and like dividing tasks and that kind of thing. Because I mean, obviously we talked about like last year, like how we're in an inter-abled relationship. So the ways that we can kind of like do things that are in our wheelhouse and that we're good at. And it, for me, it's been like a lot more learning. And I think for Nick too, it's been a lot of like learning like what it is to like live together and have a house together. And like, I don't know, like, you know, we each did stuff different ways before we came together. So kind of like doing what we can and like supporting each other through those things, even when it feels like kind of hard or frustrating.
Or unfair, like one person's doing more than the other, right? Like, I know that we've had that in our relationship at times.
Yeah,
I think everyone does.
These past 6 months for us, there was one point where Nick looked at me and he was like having a really rough time with work or a bunch of things. And he goes, you know, I'm okay with sometimes me taking 80, you taking 20 or 50-50. And he's like, I'm just asking for 1%. And I looked him in the eye and said, I can't do that. And I went back to sleep. It was rough.
Yeah, that was probably our worst conversation or fight this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yikes. So ending on a high note then, what is one thing that you all have learned or discovered either about relationships or each other since we last spoke to you online?
Oh, yeah. Refresh your advice.
I think the biggest thing, like, I have learned, and we, like, were, like, slowly reading through like a book about kind of like relationships, and it has some like devotional type of ideas in it. And one of the things that they talked about is like how you kind of like find things to pick at if you're looking for them, and how like if you're looking for the positive things in your partner, then those are the things that you'll find. And focusing on like the hard stuff can really cause a lot of, like a lot more, I don't know, conflict than, and not like, don't ignore that stuff. But I think like at the beginning of our marriage, like a lot was changing for me, and that resulted in like a lot of just like grief about like moving or my life changing or like our like roles changing, that kind of thing. And like the wedding was over and stuff. And then I kind of was able to like, I had kind of like a turning point of a moment where I was like, okay, now is like time to like settle in and like look ahead and look at like what an amazing person Nick is and like how good like our life is. And rather than like focusing on the things that are hard sometimes.
And to be fair, you can share this or you can tell me to cut it out. Your first day after marriage was not like the easiest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got our car broken into. And also, I mean, that whole week after we got married, Nick was like so sick. Like, he couldn't hear for like 2 weeks. Yeah. And so I was, you know, taking care of him. And I was kind of a mess because it was just hard stuff right out the gate.
Yeah. You were supposed to go on your honeymoon, right? And then you just.
We were supposed to do like a staycation. We're actually going on our honeymoon in January. So, but yeah, that we had to cancel basically all of our like fun plans. So,
Did they take anything from your car?
No, like nothing, which was crazy because my mom's purse was even in the trunk.
They just were mad and wanted to break the windows or something.
Yeah, they moved some stuff around, but that's it. There's nothing taken.
Man, that's such a bummer.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's hard. No, as you were speaking, though, I think it's always fun for me when sort of theological or philosophical texts touch, you know, the wisdom that comes from those things touch on also things that have been confirmed in psychology, because that's stuff I study, too. And yeah, the focusing, what you choose to focus on is what will continue to sort of, you know, it's either a virtuous cycle or a, you know, downward spiral. So I think it's good to take that moment. It sounds like you said, and I love that you use the word grief, of like, you can grieve the life that is gone. Like, that is something you have lost, and you need to give it that appropriate space. But then, yeah, don't, like any other kind of grief, if you let yourself just stay in it and wallow in it instead of then choosing to focus on the positive, you know, it can be a really bad thing, but you chose to focus on the positive and clearly are just as much in love as you were the last two times we spoke to you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nick, do you have any advice or anything that might have changed?
Oh, man, mine's not as good. I guess what I learned is, even seeing more every day how, like, selfless Madison is and thoughtful she is. Like, I don't know. She's always thinking of me when she's out, like, getting groceries. She brings me, like, a treat half the time. I'm like, what? Or she'll, like, pick me up some Starbucks. I don't know. She's always doing little things, and she does – she has to do so much extra around the house that just, like, yeah, she's the best. So.
I love bringing treats.
Madison, is one of your love languages gift giving, perchance?
Yes, gift giving is one of my favorite things to do. I'm not, like, a huge gift, like, get receiving gifts isn't my love language, but I love giving.
There was, like, a little bit of a competition in that. She's like, and I will give you the best one.
Yes.
That's very sweet.
All right. Anything else that you wanted to ask?
No.
You're laughing at me like, how dare I ask that question? We're about that time of the podcast where we would normally, you know, start to move towards the movie conversation. We've had a really good update.
Yeah.
Anything else? Well, anything you're looking forward to in the next year? Sounds like your honeymoon.
I like that.
Where are you going? Mm-hmm. What are you doing?
We're going to San Diego.
Ooh, that'll be very, very warm.
What?
Have I mentioned I'm really tired?
I was going to say.
I'm growing a child.
We talked about that whole slap happy thing and getting weird and goofy as you get late at night. This is late at night for us now.
Yeah,
folks.
What time is it? 8:16. Oh, my God. All right, well, with that, we will see you guys on the other side. And Young Loves, what movie are we going to discuss?
X-Men.
Is it Merry X-Men?
No, just that's X-Men. A different one.
We will get into that after the break.
Bye. In love with movies. Da da da.
And we're back. From the high energy break that we just had.
Yeah, honestly, my ribs feel like they're collapsing in on themselves.
She doesn't like sitting for any prolonged period of time. Welcome to pregnancy.
Well, anyways.
So with that, we should get to the movie that we are talking about today.
Yeah, which, can I say, oh no, that's part of the love story. There you go.
All right, so opening credits on this movie.
Xmas.
It is called Xmas. Now that we're talking about Xmas, that's capital E, capital X, lowercase M-A-S, came out in 2023.
No. You're right. The spelling M-A-S.
2023. Not to be confused with X-Mass that came out in 2017, or Merry Xmas, any of the two or three versions of Merry Xmas spelt E-X-Mass or E-X-Mass. None of those Merry Xmases, not X-Mass. No, we are talking about 2023's Xmas. Now, I will say, when you first told me the name of this movie, sorry, a little bit of spoiler in terms of my love story. I thought, oh, that's actually really inventive. That's pretty unique. I can't believe I haven't thought of anyone doing that before.
Yeah.
Turns out lots of people have done that before. It was not that inventive or unique. It is old hat. But anyway, aside from the three versions, we've got in this version of the story, we've got actress Allie, the character, the main sort of female protagonist. We've got Leighton. I think it's Leighton?
Leighton,
thank you. Leighton Meester.
You don't know Leighton Meester?
I do not. I was not a Gossip Girl fan.
Oh, my goodness.
Had no idea who that person was. You talked about her like she was someone I should know, and I was like, oh, okay.
She's like, yeah, the early 2000s, she's on board with, what's that other girl's name?
They were so very critical that we can immediately recall their names.
The blonde girl, it'll come to me.
Blake Lively?
Her or...
Did you watch Gossip Girl, Nick?
Did I?
I did not. No.
So did you know Leighton Meester before this movie?
He did!
I knew her from her breakout movie, Hangman's Curse, that nobody's seen, but it's
okay. All right. So I was the odd man out. Nah, so the other opposite, the protagonist, the male lead for this movie, we've got Robbie Amell. I think it's pronounced Amell. Amell. Robbie Amell. He's cousins. I'm trying to think about how does Steve Amell. Steve Amell. Spell or pronounce his name, because Steve Amell is his cousin who played Arrow. That was at one point. Danny turned to me and she goes, "Is this the guy who played Arrow?" And
I was like, "He looks just like him."
He does look like him, and I recognized the name when I first looked it up because I know Stephen Amell, and I was like, "No," but then looked it up and further dug.
It's the
cousins.
Eyes. It is they the got eyes. Like dark. Beautiful eyes.
He was also in a movie that I watched, The Duff, way back in the day.
Robbie or Steve?
Robbie.
Okay.
Designated ugly fat friend, I think is what Duff was supposed to stand for. It was like a teen comedy back in the day.
Yes.
But also, he's been recently on this TV show, Upload, on that's been advertised to us on Amazon. We have not watched that. Have you all watched that one?
Not yet, but okay. It looks good.
It looks
I keep
existential.
Seeing it. I'm like, it is, yeah, it's very deep. It looks very The Good Place.
Yeah,
The Good Place, round two.
Yeah.
Let's see, then we've got Michael Hitchcock. Yep, Michael Hitchcock. That's my handwriting here. He's from The League, Glee, Best in Show, if you guys are fans of Christopher.
He was in Glee?
He was in a couple of episodes of Glee. I think he played like a rival director.
Oh, okay. Got it. Got it.
The mom, Catherine Greenwood, who we know from Ghosts. Ghosts, she plays the rival B&B owner, the like other couple.
She's like one of those comedians that's in just like a lot of things.
Yes. Yeah.
We were watching something last night and you're like, you know who that is? What were we watching?
I don't remember. But it was her. That was who it was. I think she was a teacher or something. And then last but not least, Veronica Slowakoska. Now, I'm sure I butchered that name, but I actually thought the woman who played the sister did a very good acting job.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I like made a note to make sure I actually put her name down. And there were others also in this movie, but those are going to be the sort of key cast that we have.
Great.
That's our opening credits.
I'm ready.
All right. Then Danny's ready, so...
Time for Danny's Dingle.
Christmas time. Christmas card. Christmas family. Except for the ex. I love his family more than him. You can't do that. Yes, I can. Poof and puff. Graham does not show up for his family. The woke college brother. Who's the liar? Who stole baby Jesus? A goat? Jake from State Farm. Pot butter, LOL. Swingers? Hate sex? No gifts. Dude, did the dad die? The end.
That dad thing really tore me up. And I'll be honest, I totally forgot it happened. As we were getting ready to come record this, I watched this movie in the past week. Sorry, I'll be already starting my love story now. We watched this movie in the past week. I wrote down as I was looking ahead. I actually seemed to enjoy this movie. I remember having a good time. I have forgotten pretty much everything that occurred in it, which I don't know. Maybe that makes it a bad movie. Maybe that makes it a perfect movie for Christmas because you can like watch it that one time a year and then be ready to be completely surprised anew the following year.
Mm-hmm. That's true. So that's your love story, Nick?
That's my love story. I watched it this past week. You picked it. I looked up all the different versions of Xmas and it took us a while to figure out where to watch it. That's my love story.
Yeah. My love story is same. Watched it with you. But I like Madison and I were chatting about like, hey, you want to be on for round three? And then literally within that, like, 20 minutes, I was scrolling through Instagram, and I got a, right? I sent you the trailer for this? Yeah, and I was like, this looks good, and that man looks hot. And so I sent it to Madison, because it was actually the first new Christmas movie that was advertised to me, and we like to stay fresh and current during our our Christmas movies on this pod, at least when we're talking to Madison, because, you know, we got to get the...
Get the new ones. Hey, yeah, I like it. There's always a new crop of Hallmark-esque.
Yeah. And here's the weird thing. I was like, we can't watch. We have to record after November 17th because that's when it's supposed to come out. And then you looked it up and it came out October 17th. And then we couldn't find it. I know, right? So we watched it on Freevee with commercials.
Mm. Us too.
Okay.
All right. So tell us your love story. Anything different?
I mean, I guess this movie, well, I think, okay, I liked, it was, yeah.
They did not like it. Spoiler alert.
Whoa. I've never seen Madison speechless for like a movie.
I liked the, like, that it's like tropey, like very cheesy.
Uh-huh.
And it was very low stakes. You kind of knew what was going to happen the whole time. And yeah, it was also like, they tried new stuff that you've not seen in like other Hallmark-esque movies. So that was interesting, but.
Interesting. Yeah. With a little bit of a. All right, Nick, do you have anything to add to your love story of watching it or discovering it?
No, it was kind of vanilla.
Dang.
The beginning was weird. We were talking about it and we were just like, are they trying to get us to hate both of them the way they started it out? Mm-hmm. So it took a little while to get into it too.
I at one point, I think one of my first notes was, who am I supposed to be rooting for?
Like,
there's always supposed to be like one person who's like, you know, the obvious right person, the good person. And then there's the one person who kind of has to like learn their lesson.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like either of them fit fully into either one of those tropes.
Right.
I was very enticed by the trailer because, I mean, these are not like super small actors. I wouldn't say they're like A-list actors, but they're people that we recognize. It's not like they only do Hallmark movies,
right?
You know? So I thought, like, it was very interesting to me to, like, see a movie that had people, like, faces that I recognize, but they're playing characters that I don't think they normally play. I don't know.
Yeah. It was a very interesting setup. I guess that's kind of the new piece of, like, they're basically fighting over his family because she loved his family so much, even though they were together for 5 years and engaged. and she just broke it off. And so throughout the movie, you're figuring out what actually happened.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like that maybe also betrays the fact that they were trying to... They didn't lean on... They leaned on some of the tropes, not all the tropes. They were trying to be new and different, but also the same old sort of romantic comedy. They, mm-hmm. you know, did... It felt to me like this movie was unsure of what it wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And its tone was very inconsistent because of that. Like, there were moments where you'd have this, like, just really dumb, not even well-written, just silly stuff, like the whole disappearing of the baby Jesus, and the especially the replacements are the dumb, silly part I'm talking about. But then, out of nowhere, this movie will take a screeching turn into Dad having a serious heart attack. Dad literally might have just died on this film. Like, I thought he was dead, and I was just like,
yeah.
What the fuck is happening?
Definitely.
Yeah.
But it starts with, I wrote this line down because then I commented on it out loud to you. Because I dumped him doesn't mean I dumped his family. And I looked at you and I said, yes, it does. Like, I don't know how you guys feel, but it sounds like, Madison, you are very interwoven into Nick's family now. But if you guys got divorced, would you stay hanging out with his fam?
Well, that's not going to happen. So yes.
Yeah, that part was weird though.
Yes. And it feels like, I get that that's the premise and then maybe we're just trying to jump to that, but like, do some sort of flashback, give us a little bit of shoe leather that shows her genuine connection, you know, which they did a little bit of retrospectively where they're like, oh well, you know, when she's there all of a sudden and they're like, well, she actually talks to us and we, you know, we've stayed in touch and she was this, that, and the other, but like, do more than that, as opposed to a line that's just supposed to justify her behavior.
Yeah, the opening is for sure abrupt to be like, let's just get into the storyline, because then she's at the house, and he shows up, because work is the most important thing in his life, but then it's not, but then it is, but then it isn't, but that, you know?
I also could not take, I don't know about you guys, what do you think about, I want to hear everyone's thoughts on the work situation. I have a note that I could not take, I forgot that that's what it was. What I remember thinking is like, okay, A, nobody for a video game is going to push up the deadline to happen on Christmas.
Yeah,
B,
too late.
Nobody is going to solely be the only person working on this. And I was just like, this is the flimsiest premise to try
on
to have.
On a laptop?
Yes.
With like a little trackball? Yeah.
Like, just no, it's not happening. It was, yeah. Like, what's, and this is like, they're like, we want the old, but we want the new, right? We want the old of like, oh, this guy's, you know, stuck in work and that's his big problem. Well, mm-hmm. But what's a new thing that the kids are into these days? Yeah. What's a millennial job that they would have? Video game programmer.
Well, I think that, yeah, part of the problem with this movie is like, they wanted to like lean a little bit on tropes, but wanted to be like, okay, let's not make it about that much. But it really, because, I mean, you watch these types of movies and it's always like the career driven guy is too focused on his career. And that's why, you know, she walks away and finds somebody in a small town or like he needs to change, you know? And in this movie, it was like, he works too hard on work, kind of,
but also stops
an hour a day.
Yes.
And I was like, I'm not getting this, you know, workaholic vibes from him. He doesn't want to be doing it.
Agreed. Yeah, as the movie went on, it seemed like he more of just was like, maybe that was his excuse of just not being there for his family. Because his grandma died, and he didn't show up to his own grandma's funeral, right? His ex-fiance did.
Yeah.
Like, it, and I think that was one of the tropes, right? Like, he wasn't there for her, but she was still there for the family, whatever. But I also didn't like her for a lot of that, too, where she just, like, gave up on a 5-year relationship because she was – and didn't communicate why. She was just like, bye. And also, she won't give back the ring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a huge theme in this, her, like, lack of communication, and it was purposeful lack of communication. And everybody was like, okay. Like, they were fine with it. I'm like, no, you gotta, like – that's – on you. Like, that's, half your fault, you know, for not ever like saying anything and then continuing to be like, I'm not going to say anything. And that's fine because that's what I want, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Weird. I also found them as a couple not, this is very bad. Maybe we should cut this. Not believable.
No chemistry. They had no chemistry. That's
not right. No chemistry. And also like the way they portrayed her character would not be the girl that guy dated. I don't think.
Expound on that.
They just, like, their personalities didn't match up, I guess. So I didn't believe that they would be a couple in real life. And also, he's just so hot. And she was, like, so nerdy.
So this is why, like, you wanted to cut it. So she's the nerd who's not as attractive, and he's sexy as hell and out of her league, and that's why he would have never slummed it with her. Is that what you're getting at?
Yes.
Okay. I gotta say, I think, you know, I'm a nerd who married someone, you know, up above his station, so I think it can happen.
That's but you're a good-looking nerd. It's okay.
So it's allowed. I you know, I took the glasses off. She at one point had the rom-com moment with me where, you know, I had my glow up, so I count.
But maybe you're right. Maybe it's the, okay, he is very, very hot. I just want to say that again. It's also in my notes. Graham is a very hot man. But their chemistry, you're right. Like, it wasn't there when they were even supposed to be.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be clearly that they're just like the tension where they can't. They can't keep their hands off each other, or they're, you know, they're apart for reasons, but you can tell that they, like, both really want to be together. That's a trope that happens in a lot of movies. Mm-hmm. But then it's believable. Whereas this, it was just like, okay, it's two people.
Yeah, there was no will they, won't they.
Yeah.
It was like, we all know what's going to happen, but at the same time, make us want it to happen.
Agreed. Yeah. Yeah, instead they were just pranking each other, and it was kind of mean. Like, she clogged the toilet and then stole the plunger.
Yeah.
Like, that's triggering as a person who has severe plumbing issues.
I know, that was at the point when I'm like, wait, I don't like either of them, so what's going on here?
Agreed.
Yeah, and all their flashbacks were lame things, too. Like, their proposal was the dumbest thing ever. He's like, you know what, I'm going to do it right now. And then, yeah, it was like, here, taste these cookies I made. I want to be a baker. Like, all their flashbacks were really lame situations.
They were. It's like, where's the love? I don't know.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting. I had a note here of, like, and it's a choice. To me, it is a choice that should be a very specific storytelling choice about the characters. When they sort of discover they're there, and then they go back to their own rooms, and they show each of them having a flashback. And one of them's having a flashback to their proposal, which, again, is not all that special, but putting that aside. And the other one's having a flashback to their breakup, which to me, like, that should be giving you not only depth from the scene that you're seeing, but there should be something there about, like, who is having that flashback. And I, like, even wrote it down. I was like, oh, that's an interesting choice. They must be trying to what are they trying to tell me about the fact that he's having this breakup and then she's having the proposal? And I literally don't feel like I got that answer from the movie. I can suppose that maybe it's supposed to be saying that she thinks of the good times and he thinks of the bad ones, but, like, that's not even terribly clear, so... Bad choices. This is fun. Normally we have these conversations and it makes me realize I can actually like the movie more. This is making me dislike it more than what
I think like maybe a semi bright spot in this movie was just, I guess, the goofiness of the parents. I don't know. I thought that they were very doofy and they played that, you know, well.
Perfectly well, yeah.
I think there were some moments where I was like, what? Some of their, I will say, zillennial humor. I was like, why are you saying this? But maybe that's why they wrote it in the movie, for us to be like, why? I can't remember which jokes the dad told, but they were like inappropriate, weird.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't write any of his. I wrote her, I'd hit that, and them all like laughing at me. Like, Mom, that's not what that means. She just kept saying it.
She's like, I said that the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing, Madison. Like, I do think actually the family is redeeming, because the sister, I like the sister. She's really cool. And then the brother has like four lines, and every single time he speaks, I laughed so hard because he's just like the woke college kid. Like, his first entrance is the dad's like, look at this vagrant I found on the the street, and he's like, "Nice, Dad. Make fun of the unhoused people," or something like that. So that was very funny. So they do a good job with the family. But then the sister has another sideline where she's also going through this secret breakup. And I don't know.
Which, again, they try to use that as, like, evidence that... like that the brother is not, that the main character is not like in tune with his family, except when we later discover it and it's sort of like, he's like, "Why didn't you tell me?" She's like, "Well, if you were around, then I would tell you." Except we've also set up earlier that she spends time with her parents a lot and she had not told the parents because her mom was asking about her significant other and why isn't she coming home?
Where's
and it's
Heather?
Like,
where's Heather?
It's not his fault for not being around if you're not telling anyone. Like,
yeah.
I will say the family was a bright spot in the sense of, I think, the implied breaking of stereotypical norms with it. So there's a line where he says, like, "I don't believe in COVID." And I was like, the fuck? Like, it just dropped out of nowhere, which was the perfect way to do it.
Very funny.
But you combine that with sort of the religious nature of some of the family's choices. They're going to church, you know, the day of, and like he's talking about, "We thank God for, you know, finding my wife or the business that we have." And what I loved is that, like, you had those things, which in my stereotyped head at least, does not also mean that they would likely have be so loving of someone who is a Generation Z, clearly adopted individual. You know, or that they have a queer daughter that they are very obviously completely aware of and accepting of and, you know, totally fine with. Like, those things do not, in my brain, especially within depictions in media, like, don't go together. And so I thought it was nice that they just sort of were like, "Hey, here's these people that are very much strong in their faith. It's important to them. And guess what? That's also part of what feeds their ability to be so loving of all of these different types of people within their family." I feel like most movies in the past, if they had someone that was clearly adopted, they would have, like, pointed at it. They would have been like, "Oh, we're such good people because we adopted you, third son of ours." And in this, it was just like, genetics-wise, you've got to assume that's the case, but it was literally never spoken of. Never, ever once addressed.
Yeah, I think movies are getting more progressive.
Which I think is awesome. I love that.
Yeah,
you wouldn't address it in real life every time.
Right?
You know, and so, we're being dropped into these people's lives of, like, okay, this is what Christmas is like for them, you know?
Yeah.
I did think it was interesting, like, I feel like some of the casting choices were interesting in that I do wonder, and this is maybe the cynical nature of me, if they, like, cast everybody and they're like, "Okay, we have a white nuclear family, so all these extra characters have to be not white."
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And... because that is basically what happened. Like, sure. All of the extra characters and the son who didn't get a lot of lines, he's not white, and neither is the car salesman, and neither is the girl Graham hooks up with. And I was like, this is kind of weird. Like, just a little bit, I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah.
It's sort of the evolution of the token black guy type of thing that you hear about in tropes and is made fun of by South Park and all sorts of other things.
I think it has to happen. The visibility has to happen this way. Otherwise, we're never going to normalize it.
But I agree with you that it's unfortunately, it's only when it became commercially commoditizable that then all of a sudden studios started being like, "Oh, yeah, we got to make sure we, you know, plug in people of color, because that's something we have to do now." And it's like, no, you could just, you know, populate a world with diversity the way that the world is populated, but...
Sure, and I do think that it was a good move for them to just, like, never address that they had an adopted child. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Agreed. I think that was cool.
The Brady is his name?
The other salesman? Yeah, Brady.
He reminded me of Jake from State Farm.
Oh, yeah, because he was wearing red, too.
He kind of looked like him. He was very, like, buttoned up. It was a weird, like, they clearly were trying to be like, oh, maybe these two characters could potentially hook up with other people. And they threw it in your face real quick where they're making out with each other in front of each other.
Yeah, that's another weird thing.
Like, don't these people have families?
And even if they don't, like, again, just the, like, "I just met this person. Now I'm going to, like, obviously be making out in front of you." And it just never felt like that's, like, I don't know, I've seen it in other movies where it feels like, oh man, that's, they're clearly obviously trying to make them jealous, and I feel it. No, it just felt like this is awkward and cringy, and I feel like no human being would do this the way that you're doing this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they tried. That's something a little different, too. And then the woman is a swinger, and the guy tries to sell her a car.
That was kind of funny.
That was very funny.
I feel like they could have done more. And that's where, there was a lot of things in this movie where things came out of left field. The dad. There's no line earlier on to sort of set up any sort of inkling that might be a concern in the future. Like, sure. Literally just have a single line where he eats too many cookies, or a single line where she, you know, makes him eat low sodium snacks or something like that.
Yeah. Although, whenever they were ice skating and he's breathing hard, I said to Nick, I was like, he's going to have a heart attack.
Really?
He had a heart attack. Well, cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
I was like, I knew it.
Because you knew his back was bad. That's why he used the butter, right?
That was great.
Yes. That scene was good. That
it was funny. Also, they have a Christmas party at the used car sales lot. And they have a goat. Yeah. That's it. I was like, they had a goat? And then her biggest fear, of course, is goats.
That was another thing. I'm like, why is it her? Why is he think it's going to be her fault that she's afraid of goats?
And listeners, we are saying goats, not ghosts.
Yeah, as in the animal with horns.
No horns for this guy. He was just chilling. True too.
Well, and then there was this like weird thing where he undoes the like gate and somehow sneaks food into her pocket, but he also picked up said food from a bucket that was right next to the outside of the gate. So if the animal was food motivated, I feel like it would have just turned left and gone nowhere else because, you know, food.
Yeah. So eventually you find out that I think the turning point was he promised her a bakery truck and he didn't get it for her. Mm-hmm. Is that what you guys think?
Mm-hmm. I think that was the nail in the coffin.
Yes.
But also, seems weird.
And then at the end, I mean, not to jump too far ahead, but the truck that pulls up, I was like, is that a golf cart? Wasn't that the smallest, fakest little truck that they had? I don't know.
It does sort of feel like maybe it was a budget. Like maybe the goat thing too was they wanted to have a different animal. Maybe they wanted a llama or something like that.
Or a reindeer.
Or a reindeer, right? They wanted something that was more Christmas or more out there. That would be bizarre for her to have a feeling about it. And they were like, we can't get you a goat. Or we can't get you a llama, but I can get you a goat. We can't do a reindeer, but I could get you a goat. We'll pull a goat and, you know, show it up today. And then I feel like that's probably what happened. Is it just feels like there's all these budget things.
If you want a reindeer next year, you got to watch with the ads.
But then this movie also was clearly had a lot of advertisement.
Oh, did you all notice?
Oh, yeah.
Sponsored by Heineken, K Jewelers.
Oh, yes, K Jewelers.
Like the box.
Like, I have, outside of an actual K commercial, I have never seen any jeweler's label more prominently featured in a proposal video.
Yeah.
And then they only drank Heineken the whole movie.
It's pretty funny. What are your other thoughts that you had? What stood out to you two? Good or bad?
Okay. She's supposed to be like this huge baker with like whatever, a feature in some magazine. Mm-hmm. And like the only thing she bakes are sugar cookies, and it's only 5 at a time in a contain in like a stoneware that you are not supposed to cook cookies.
And they all looked, she put them so close together on the pan, I was like, those aren't going to go well.
And then how do you even get off? The pin had edges. And, like, if you're going to bake something that's going to be featured in a magazine, it's not going to be a sugar cookie.
Yeah, they were all just, like, little creatures. I agree. I think the part that, like, they were trying to be deep, I think, with, pun intended here, I guess, with the turning point of them, like, having hate sex, but that actually led to them having a real conversation, finally. And then they were fighting about it in church. But I just, like, I don't know. I didn't love that setup of, like, they have to be physical and have sex with each other to finally be able to talk to each other. Mm. It was just like a weird, like, I don't know. It just was off for me.
Also, he came home so drunk and yet was apparently like, and not just like in a must have been sober, but just a, the way he suddenly was behaving was sober as soon as they start kind of making out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, also the conversation he had with his mom when she was in the room and her, his mom was like, I told your dad I was going to divorce him. I was like, what?
I know.
She gave him, like, an ultimatum and then told her son, like, that, I mean, like, that, that's, I the guess, lesson. Is what happened in this case. But also, I was like, I don't know if that's entirely healthy.
Yeah, she said it's not about achieving goals. It's about how you get there together. Which I was like, is that deep or is it not? I can't tell.
I do think there's some, the way she executed it and the, like, the sort of how she's choosing to explain this, not great. But I do think there is something to the, you know, you can't be too focused on trying to reach the thing that you want. Like, I'm gonna, but I think that's a trope of a lot of people in, you know, especially our parents' generation. Like, that's mm-hmm. why these movies exist, is the sort of, you know, trope of the overworking man, especially, is because that was real. Like, and it comes from another generation before that, being like the way that that quote unquote traditional house, the most typical in this country, at least, setup seemed to be, you know, you could make it on a single income. So one person went and worked and the other person stayed at home, and that went into bad ways. Whereas now I think we've moved into a, you know, this is, more about the development together and the family we are building together. I actually recently, sorry, this is a total tangent. I always go off on my psych tangents. Somebody on a podcast I was listening to, I think it was No Stupid Questions, was talking about a new way somebody had proposed sort of looking at relationships. And if you look at a historical perspective, and I think each of us is probably familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So like you've got your base needs at the bottom and then you got your self-actualization at the top. You could think of that as how it applies to how we have treated marriage as well. Enough long enough ago, marriage existed for you to secure safety, like literally food and or not going to die because the, like, neighboring shelter. Kingdom is not going to attack. You know what I mean? Or it's going to give you shelter. You're going to have somebody paying for you. And then slowly we've built that into, like, well, now it's part of our social well-being. And, you know, we want this love relationship and we want feelings of esteem from the other person. And now we're at the point where we're sort of like, no, I expect you to actually be the thing that makes me a better person. Like, you help me to self-actualize, to become the best version of myself. And that is part of your role as my partner. And that's a lot of pressure. And I do think it's a new thing, but I think it's a common thing these days. I don't know. Thoughts on that?
Yeah. Of the mom saying that's what she needed from the dad.
Yeah.
Rather than the shelter and the yeah. safety. Yeah. I could see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that I still think it is very strange how, like, in this movie, Allie was like, I don't need you to be working so hard and, like, all this, achieving all these goals, but also I want you to buy me a vehicle.
That's such a great point. That's such and a great point.
Also, I want to keep my ring.
Yes.
I didn't have you achieve my goals, but.
Yeah.
That's true.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I do think that there's still value in the, like, receiving reminders in, I don't know, in movies or tropes or whatever, that, yeah, it's, like, what's important is the relationship with another person. It's not the material things that relationships can get you, or like it's not important, like work is not our identity and shouldn't be
right.
our identity, and relationships and marriage are about making each other better people, but it's also about, like, just, I don't know, learning more about yourself and about each other, and also learning about how, like, people change over time, because, like, marriage is a huge commitment and nobody stays the same their whole mm-hmm. lives. And I think sometimes in, like, yeah, movies like this, you see, like, these characters change and then they kind of like drift apart because they've changed, and then realize like, oh, that is still like the same person that I fell in love with. And then they come back together in a way. I don't know. But yeah, I rambled a bit, but.
I ramble a lot. I always ramble.
So you're saying this movie did its job of making us think these deep things about relationships and marriage.
Yeah, or is it our conversation that's uplifting it? But that is the beauty of movies, because like any art, your discussion about it afterwards can always bring more to it. I have two more things that I have a need to touch on.
Okay.
One that's silly. What the hell kind of store were they going to find replacement baby Jesuses? Like, the fact that would exist anywhere, of any kind, and then the options? What is this store?
They put a duck in a beard.
And why are all the baby Jesuses actually adult Jesuses?
I thought they were going to do something more with that. Like, oh, the dad had been stealing the baby Jesuses because he wanted the kids to come together to find it. Mm-hmm. Or like, it was going to be the big prank, you know, that really actually made the family kick out Elizabeth's character.
Yes.
Which I feel like should have happened at one point. Like,
yes.
There should have been like a power, like someone should have lost and then come back. But yeah, that was very strange.
And then it was just a dog, like a random dog. They don't even mention the dog the whole time.
I think they were like, oh, you know what? We should probably solve that for the people who are like, the dog was taking it.
It's like when they wrote Lost, and they're like, all right, we set up this whole great premise, and we should probably solve it.
I do feel like that's just it. It's like whether it was budget or the writers in the process of writing. They just like they'd be writing something. They're like, I don't know where I'm going to take this. Oh, crap. I remembered I got that thing I got to wrap up somehow. There's a dog stealing it.
Yeah,
like,
it should have been the goat.
Or, yes. It should have been the goat. Absolutely. Right? That's how movie writing is supposed to work. Things are supposed to tie together.
This movie did lose track of itself a lot. Of like, I thought the bet of who's going to leave was going to be at the forefront, and they never really mentioned it again.
Yeah, they like made a bet, and then
they were just kind of mean to each other, baby pranks, and then forgot about the whole thing.
I literally forgot that they had made a bet until this very moment.
Yeah, weird. And then, well, should we talk about how they randomly always have a hockey match on Christmas morning at Jacob State
Farm? Where are they getting access to the ice rink?
And the mom has a helmet with horns on it.
It felt like they were like, what's something specific about Minnesota? Oh, hockey. Hockey.
Yeah. But then, I cried a little bit because I was scared for the dad, and then the mom was so sad. Like, that part really got me.
That was very real. I mean, I was, like, bawling. Because,
we have dead dads.
Dead issues.
Yeah.
I know, when he was down for so long, I was like, nah, he's not going to die. And then it cut away without any resolution. I was like, he's dead?
I know.
But then the ambulance.
They can't kill him.
And that's another thing I said. I said, as the lights went out, I said, he's not dead. They're going to say, Grammy saved his life by doing compression. And then it came back up and said, if you hadn't been there, he would have died.
They literally said that, yeah.
Oh, man. Anything else?
Wait, you said you had two things. Sorry.
I do have one other thing. I didn't want to interrupt anybody else.
So, like one thing that it almost seemed like the climax or some kind of resolution, but it was like really short and just when he quits his job.
Yeah.
Like he's on the phone for like 2 seconds. Like, hey, is the thing done? I quit. let's build this up a little bit. Like this was the whole issue.
Yeah.
And he quits and that was it.
Yeah, and they didn't even really have, like, the moment with music or, like, a moment of, like, connection or knowing between them. Or, like, I was expecting her to say something like, oh, my God, Graham, you know what I mean? Or, like, that's such a big deal. Or, I can't believe you just did that. Or, like, there'd be literally anything other than just, like, okay, we stare at each other. We both know that just meant something.
Yeah. And what happens to Poof and Puff?
Danielle's very concerned for the Poof and Puff character.
That's two characters.
A January release.
The video game.
Anyway.
Poof and Puff.
Okay. So to summarize things, and I think the thing that maybe is, all of these things could have been forgiven if it weren't for, pardon me, one lacking quality. I remember we talked about this last year. because I'm normally the one who's ragging on these movies, and I think maybe I convinced myself to be more positive because of our experience the last couple of years on these types of movies. But there's something that this movie was lacking.
What?
Christmas spirit.
Madison, how many trees would you give this one on Christmas spirit?
This is tricky because all of the elements were there. You know, you had trees and decor and the parents and the baking, and they tried with love. But I think it would probably get like 1.5 or 2 because it's just not a movie that made me feel good inside.
Yes, that's what I mean. Like, all of the silliness and the bad writing and the subpar acting, all still true of the movie we watched last time, which was called what? Falling for Christmas? The Lindsay Lohan one?
I love that movie.
Okay, but you walked away from that movie with this, like, heartwarm feeling, right? They had that stereotypical tropey just gushing of, like, Christmas love and warmth and by the fire and community and the hearth. Felt none of that from this movie. Felt like they were attempting it, maybe, but they didn't know what to do with it.
They said one line that I really liked, and he said, "I can't imagine any more Christmases without you." And I was like...
Talking about the dad?
No, I think he... Graham said that... Graham said that to Allie, didn't he?
Right? He may have.
Am I making this up?
Did you guys catch that?
I didn't catch it, but I believe you.
I wrote it down, so...
I would argue that this is making the point. Because if they said it, it should have been something that was... swelling of music and the changing of the lighting. They should have highlighted that moment in a way that makes it memorable. 3 out of 4 of us didn't remember it.
Yikes.
So, I think the real problem is that they didn't have chemist tree.
Is that one of the trees? Oh.
All right, so with that, we might as well get to our heart ratings and would you renew your vows. I'm going to go last this time.
Oh.
You can either go first or we can let them go.
You guys can go. So out of 5 hearts, how many hearts would you give this movie? And would you renew your vows? Would you watch it again?
I'll go first. I'll say, I don't know if I'm being too harsh, 2.5. But I think, like you said, Nick, it was so forgettable, it might be worth another watch. Like, I don't know, maybe the jokes will hit better and then you'll get over the cheesy, I don't know, the lameness, but, or it could be one that's worth watching because it's just bad. But yeah, maybe I would probably watch it again.
All right, Madison.
Okay, I'm gonna give this movie 1.5.
Oh, jeez.
I don't think I would want to watch it again. Wow. Although if Nick wants to watch it again, I guess I will. But it is very different from, okay, there's a very bad, horrible movie on Netflix. Dolly Parton's Christmas on the Square. But I watch it ever since it came out in 2020. I watch it every year because it is like Christmas, and you know it's bad, but it's so good it's bad. And this was also not bad.
Yeah, it's lacking that magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they even tried to make a happy ending where they're like, 1 year later, she gets a truck for Christmas and then a baby also. Anyways, I would give it 2 out of 5 hearts because I tee-hee-heed a lot. I thought there were some very funny, unexpected jokes from this movie. Do I think it's really a Christmas movie? No, but I thought it was just like funny and dumb. That COVID thing, I wrote it down. I want to say it again. Everyone has their own beliefs. I, for one, don't believe in COVID. That was very funny.
That is, yeah, we did crack up because but you were not seeing it coming. Like, that's, I think, why it was subverting expectations.
Would I watch it again? Yeah, in a couple of years when we forget that we watched it already, and we watch it again.
So I think maybe I'll be similar to the rest of you all, but I will say this is one that this is what I wanted to share. I originally had written 3 out of 5 would renew my vows. That is what I had originally written. Now that we are revisiting it, I did not remember any of it coming into this conversation.
Expert on Christmas movies.
Critiquing it on its lack of magic and all the other things that we've criticized it for. Yeah, I'm going to bring it down to a 2.25 out of 5. So just under where you were at, Nick. And I would not renew my vows. I would not choose to watch this movie again because I realize I don't know that there's anything there for it. Having said that, I could watch this movie again in a year or two and probably literally not remember that I had already watched it before. So in that sense, we'll see what happens. But I'm not going to renew because I wouldn't choose.
Dang. This was one of the lowest movies we've had in a long time.
Somebody who's a listener, who's a stats nerd, do me a favor. Go compile all of our ratings and tell us, is this the lowest ranking rating overall? That would be fantastic to know. I want to have that information. Somebody go do that for us. Please and thank you.
This is our season.
This is our fifth season.
Fifth season of this podcast, so that'd be amazing. Sorry I made y'all watch it.
No, it was worth it. It was what we signed up for.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's something that you can watch it once. I don't think it was a waste of our time.
Yeah. So, also, as like the first Christmas movie we watched, it's like a good lead up because if you watch this the week before, you'd be like, well, this fell way flat on Christmas spirit. This is like dipping your toes in the water.
Christmas. Yeah, this is pre-Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is where we're at currently.
Yeah.
So we would say this is not even really a Christmas movie. It just happens to be at Christmas time. Is that correct?
I think that's one of the things lacking.
Call Die Hard a Christmas movie.
Die Hard has more Christmas spirit.
I agree with that.
I am surprised that, you know, I mean, it's nothing to do with us as far as the negative ratings, because we're very positive people. Mm. And I mean, Nick, he usually gives movies like 5 out of 5.
Okay. She made fun of me so bad. We went to this like food tasting at a restaurant. And so they were like, you sampled everything they were unveiling at a fall menu. And then you actually like wrote feedback and like every single thing. I was like, this is great. It's great. And she was giving some stuff like 2 stars. I was like, 4, 5, 4.
This phrase he kept using is, this was perfection.
You're the guy who throws off the numbers for everyone else.
I love it.
Yep.
So, yeah, they are positive people. That's why we bring you on for our Christmas special. But this one deserves that. Is there that button?
Yeah.
Yay!
No, I had a good time watching it. I actually had a better time watching it than I remembered. And we had a great time discussing it. So, yeah, definitely worth our time.
Obviously. Well, Young Loves, is there anything you'd like to plug or share with our listeners?
Yeah.
I know Madison's got a thing.
Plug it?
Oh, yeah. I am in a play the next couple weekends. It's with the Curtain Call Community Theater in Mokena, Illinois, out in the burbs. We're doing Crimes of the Heart, and I have a lot of lines to memorize.
Have you memorized them all yet?
Mostly. And the ones I have, and I can pretend.
You're an improviser by trade, so.
Yes, which also I am in Comedy Sports Minor League. We perform on Thursdays. I'm probably not in any shows until the new year, but yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Sweet. Mm-hmm. Nick, you got anything?
I will be attending Curtain Call. I'm at some comedy sports shows.
You are, yeah.
On Thursdays.
Amazing.
Catch me in the audience.
I'll see you there. How about you, Danny?
Yeah, I'm also at Comedy Sports. That's all I got going on. Sorry. Malarkey Theater. Oh. We're at Malarkey Theater now, and we play Comedy Sports.
You play Comedy Sports presented by Malarkey, though.
Yeah. When does this podcast go out? I'm in... Don't answer that. I'm in Bubby and Zadie, which is actually my favorite holiday show to be in. So Bubby and Zadie is a Hanukkah show, and I am Christmas Carol, and I will be playing the resident non-Jew learning about Hanukkah. So that's every Thursday. I think this is why there's no minor league in December, because there's Bubby and Zadie every Thursday at IO Theater.
All right. So Thursdays at IO Theater. Mm-hmm. There, you will have, I think, missed only one when this then comes out.
So. Perfect. Yeah, our first show is the first day of Hanukkah, too, so. Perfect.
Fun.
All right. I got nothing special coming up. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter and Letterboxd and, yeah, at Nick Loves Movies. That's NICLUV Love Nick Loves Movies on all those places. Danny, where can they find you?
At Daddy Miami 4.
And you can find the podcast on just about every podcasting app. I'm trying to kind of keep up with all of them until one of them wins out. Not podcasting apps, social media apps. So we got the Blue Skies, we got the Threads, we got the all the new ones and the X's and the Twitters and the things and the that's at N Love With Movies. That's at the letter N Love With Movies.
Cool. And with that, I love you, Nick.
I love you, Danny.
And we love you, love youngs.
Do you need another take? Do you need
we love you, young bloods. Bye-bye.
We love you, movie lovers.
Bye.
We did it! Y'all ready? We don't have to explain anything. You know how it goes. It's the same shit, different year. Oh, you should. Are you recording?
I did hit record already.
Oh, good, because that was funny.